knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight.
I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
I have a quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today is, just the recognition that, decades from now, centuries from now, this will be looked upon as the week of too much of you and me. quite a week of too much us.
Dan, I think that you are underestimating exactly how much more we're going to do in the weeks to come.
this is an extensive week of programming between our episode on our Patreon, our little bonus episode, and then also thank you to Robert and Sophie.
Yes, huge thanks to Robert and Sophie.
Behind the Bastards. And I got to bring up something that I got to bring information to the table that everyone was unaware of.
Yes.
About invention from Goldwater.
Yes, the Goldwater invention. I do recall that.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's something we've talked about on this show, but apparently was new to the proceedings.
I would say that you were so excited.
Very excited.
You were incredibly excited. You were shivering and shaking almost
as
though
there was a bug
something
in my pants.
Yeah, some sort of bug in it's just something I couldn't feel, but it was there.
So I guess that's my bright spot. Yeah. Too much of us.
Yeah.
How about you?
My bright spot is Dan, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift is my bright spot.
Okay.
Because you're so mad.
This.
You're so mad.
I was real worried about this.
No. I decided to start listening to every Taylor Swift. I've never listened to Taylor Swift.
Never been to a Walgreens?
I'm on purpose or in full.
Okay.
Is that a better way of putting it?
Yeah.
So I've never done that before. And then I've really been struggling to come up with a project since the book ended. And I've just been like throwing shit at the wall, and it's not been going well.
Well, here comes another.
And for some reason, I was like, you know what? Now I'm going to do it. So I've decided to listen to every one of Taylor Swift's albums in a row. Chronological order and review each one.
We talked about this a little bit, and I resent you for this because I think it's going to have a really negative tone.
Oh man, is it dark?
Yeah,
it is. It is very fun to be incredibly mean to a 17-year-old who is going to go on to be a billionaire.
Yeah, but I also resent that you're at this point. You're still like at a point where I can't really rebut anything you're saying.
Of course,
I don't know anything about Taylor Swift's first album.
Sure.
But if you start getting real shitty about some of those later albums, we might have words.
I think if you read it, you will find that I am very complimentary towards things that deserve complimenting.
Okay.
And I am hyperbolically incredibly cruel to things that are just meh.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
Like, that's kind of how
I'll check
like to
it
do
out.
It.
Where can people find this?
People can find it on a friend of the show, Matthias Drufke's website, fancyboysclub.com. I'll be posting those probably once a week or until I get really pissed off at Taylor Swift and decide never to do this again.
And if I get bored enough, I will write
you might read it.
Rebuttals.
I think that would be fun.
But there will be only personally attacking you.
Yes,
I
would
love that.
Nothing
to do with the music, just personally attacking you.
What you should do is do the exact same thing, but for each chapter of my book.
Right.
Every week, we'll just hate each other.
Has Jordan ever written a pop masterpiece? No.
Absolutely not.
All right. Well, Jordan, today we got an interesting episode to go over. We're going to be talking about December 16th and 17th, 2020. I'm Dan. This is 2020.
Hooray!
Shit got interesting and weird this week, and so we're going to have a little bit of a, memento style. We're going to start with December 17th.
Yeah. And then we're going to go back. Yeah. I've heard some news.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So before we get to the episode, let's take a little moment to say thank you to some folks who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first, Bat Chain Masterson, thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Bat Chain. Next, Olivia M., thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Olivia.
Check out next, James C. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Oh, thank you very much, James.
Thank you. Next, Liz G. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thanks, Liz.
Thank you. Next, Zachariah K. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Zachariah.
Thank you. Next, Jonathan T. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, JT.
And then, what?
Triple
Thomas?
T? Double.
You're talking about
couple,
Home Improvement?
Couple JTTs?
No. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to a couple people who donated on an elevated level. We appreciate that very much. So Big Easy Blasphemy, thank you so much. You are now a technocrat. And Corey S., thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate, that's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, Big Easy Blasphemy, and thank you so much, Corey.
Yes, thank you very much to the both of you.
If you're out there listening and you're thinking, hey, I enjoy this show, I'd like to support these gents, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show, or...
What you could do is create some sort of tortured analogy towards trying to find writing something about Taylor Swift into a generosity thing, but I would just suggest that you guys go to your local charity or bail fund and support people
took the easy road on this one today.
It was just going to be, I was thinking about it here.
You were trying to get a little too meta with
it. I was trying there. Yeah. It was tough. Mm-hmm. It's a tough one.
Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah.
So I wanted to play The Sound of Silence to start this episode, but that would be very hacky. And so I decided not to.
Real quick, I have one piece of business. Oh,
okay.
Just real quick.
Oh, yeah,
right
yeah.
off the top. Somebody
nothing,
reached out
nothing
to me.
Nothing to do with The Sound of Silence.
Nothing to do with The Sound of Silence. Completely unrelated. Somebody reached out to me and she asked me politely if we would wish her partner a happy birthday. His name is Joe, and I was told that the way to identify him was that he skips over our theme song.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, which then made me be like, am I even going to fucking do this now? There
we go.
We're
going to play it again.
That's what's going to happen.
Take that. No.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Joe.
Happy birthday, Joe.
I hope you have a good one. It's been a tough year for everybody, you know, with the... everybody who had a birthday this year wasn't their favorite birthday, I'm
totally.
Sure.
Totally. Mine wasn't.
Nope.
And hey, here's the other thing.
What's up?
If you are dating a Joe or married to a Joe or whatever with a Joe who also skips over the theme song, tell him it was you.
Sure.
Tell him it was you.
We won't tell.
Totally. I'm not saying anything. Yeah. I'm not going to follow up on
We're not snitches.
Yeah.
Feel free to lie to your partner.
Build a strong relationship.
Yeah. And now, back to The Sound of Silence.
Yes, indeed.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
Oh.
I couldn't help but, like, find... Okay. Beginning of the week, we had the rallies in D.C., mm-hmm. and then I was kind of planning on this episode to, like, cover the very predictable and obvious reactions Alex would have to it.
Totally.
But then today, Thursday, as it was, you know, getting game time to do this episode, we got hit with some big news.
At
Libertarian on Twitter.
Of
the one person
fame.
At InfoWars who has managed to duck getting banned because he's too boring for anyone to notice is there.
Too boring.
David Knight announced that he was fired effective immediately from InfoWars.
Oh, boy. Stevie P's got to him in the end, huh?
I don't know if that's the case. That is the obvious thing that you would think, because David Knight has been on a bit of a public vendetta against Steve Pachenik. A
little bit.
Who has been trying to convince people at InfoWars that the election was a grand sting operation.
Yes.
David Knight's not having any of that bullshit.
David Knight fired for being inexplicably a half-truth teller.
To his credit, yeah. he responded appropriately to that. Although, to not his credit, he also, you know, the last time he had Steve on, he said, yes, I believe Sandy Hook was a false flag.
There you go.
I will not agree with you about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So I don't know where his line is.
He's a half-truth teller.
Yeah. And this big news. And I don't want to shit on somebody when they're down or like make fun of it. But I mean, like, it's relevant to our interests.
Yeah.
Like, David Knight has been there forever.
Yeah.
He's been there 10 years, probably.
Something like that. Yeah, totally.
He has always been there through the thick and thin. Of so much horrible bullshit. Went along with Alex as he got into Trump.
Maybe Alex just remembered that David Knight was there and he was like, shit, I meant to fire him 5 years ago and then I just forgot. He's just so boring.
I don't know. I'm actually kind of conflicted. I'm not entirely sure what I think the case is here. I think we'll discuss this as we go through the episode. So we're going to start with the 17th. We're going to start with Alex's conversation about, because I think he knew he needed to get ahead of this.
Yeah.
And so he has fired David.
Right.
At this point.
We're past it.
Yes. And so Thursday's show, he's going to deal with some housekeeping business for a little bit.
First thing I want to say, the tank was a good idea. It was a good idea.
Solid investment.
It was a good investment. Yeah. Anyways, we have lost some personnel.
The tank brings in more money than David Knight.
Yeah, probably.
Sells more pills. So we're going to look at that. And then we're going to flash back to the 16th, and we're just going to discuss what kind of content was going on there, because I got just bored as hell after Alex stopped talking about current events of his own issues.
Sure.
So here's an out-of-context drop from today's show.
Now, I don't want to liken myself to a U.S. president, but this job is about as close as it gets.
Okay. All right.
I mean, currently, maybe.
Maybe. Look. I talk shit and vaguely read headlines.
Yep.
I'm basically the president.
Pretty close. Pretty close when you get down to it.
I get lied to by weirdos as a profession.
Yeah. Cool. I, too, like Stephen Miller.
So I kind of had a sense that it was going to be something that Alex has to bring up.
Sure.
Because David Knight has made this public. He's come out with it. So Alex frames things this way when he gets going on the show on the 17th. And he was late for the show. There was some special reports at the beginning.
Okay.
And I've got a really huge announcement coming up at the bottom of the hour about the future of InfoWars and about this organization and a restructuring we're going to be doing that'll be announced today. I've waited long enough, and I've told folks about how we're under attack and what's going on with InfoWars, and I don't think people take that serious sometimes, but InfoWars is fighting for its life, just like the rest of the country and the rest of the world is. We don't get globalist money. We didn't get the $10.6 billion that Black Lives Matter got from the New World Order. And the only money we get is from you. And we can't fight if you don't support us. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
So there's restructuring going on in the InfoWar.
Yes.
There's demotions.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really specific yet at this point. There's just kind of like the insinuation that we're going to talk about what the future is going to look like around here.
Yeah.
And I
podcasts—they're the future.
I grow weary of this, quite honestly, because we've been on this track before. We've done some laps around this.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, the move of firing David Knight—that
one wasn't there.
Big.
That's a big one.
Yeah,
that one's tough to undersell.
That's tough to look at as like, oh, you're just blowing smoke.
Yeah.
There's something there.
Yeah.
Now, whether it's like, hey, resources are tight.
I got a call from Melania and she said, get rid of David Knight.
Sure. Is it the Steve situation or is it money?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could be.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't tell. So I was like, yeah, what else is going on here, Alex? Got anything to talk about other than your own dumb bullshit?
Trump tried to turn our economy back on, get us out of the globalist system. He did really a splendid job on many fronts, made some big mistakes. And still with 34 days left, if he levels with the American people in resolute desk speeches and asks for 10 million Americans to march on Washington peacefully and to march on all our other capitals to demonstrate that we know there's massive election fraud and that we repudiate the globalist corporate media, the NWO has a very good chance of folding up and backing down, because then the Justice Department and others will have the courage to do the right thing and prosecute.
So Alex is pretending that a bunch of people could go march and then the New World Order would be like, oh, no.
Yeah.
What about Plan B?
Nah, it's a show of force.
What about Plan B?
What about Plan B?
Yeah.
There's 10 million people in one spot. You can't do Plan B when they're all there.
That would be perfect. That's when you gas them all.
There's too many.
That's when you hit the bioweapon. That's what Plan B is.
No, there's not enough bioweapon. It would be too diffuse and everybody would get a little sick.
That's not how a bioweapon works. This is a super bioweapon. You forgot that Plan B is a super bioweapon.
Yeah, a super bioweapon hits 5 million people in one place max. That's twice as many.
I just I just can't get it up for this kind of thing.
No,
I
this is sad. He doesn't even believe it.
No. I can't handle the guy trying to tell me that, like, oh, we just need a bunch of people to march, and then maybe the cabal of people who've been planning this for thousands of years will be like, oh, no, people.
Yeah.
And when Alex has already said that there's a plan B, if they manage to, like, even if they get Trump back in office, there's a plan B that's just everyone dies, but it's a little less organized.
Yeah.
Like, how? Why? What does this matter?
I don't know, but the idea of the devil, who has been with humanity since there were two, and now there are several billion of us, for him to be like, whoa, 10 million is just too much for me to... Look, I got to tell the NWO to back off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just mathematically a little bit problematic for me.
Because you have to assume that the New World Order would be doing the devil's bidding.
They would have to.
Right. Yeah. So the only reason that they're doing the things that they're doing is because the devil has told them that they should.
Right.
And... I mean, yeah, if the devil is like, who cares about 10 million people marching? It's no big deal. You'd assume that they would just keep going with their plans.
Does the devil phone? Or does he appear?
I don't know. He seems really interested in domestic politics.
He really does. I feel like he should get a phone.
It's a whole big world out there for the devil.
Does the devil email? Because if he's appearing everywhere,
this is stupid.
Exhausting.
This is stupid, and it feels trivial even within Alex's own conspiracies. I just don't care.
No, this is dumb.
So how about you get back to your bullshit, Alex? I want to hear more about your situation.
And InfoWars, I'm giving you the good news. InfoWars has 3 to 5 times the audience on a day-to-day basis that we've ever had, except for right around the last election. And that's despite all the deplatforming. What we do not have is the funding we had then. And so I'm the type of guy that has kept everybody employed, kept the shows going, kept us in the field, kept funding everything, mortgaged my house a year ago to be able to have emergency funding to run this operation, to take care of shortfalls. But I can look at the other things I have as an emergency backup, and it wouldn't fund this place for a month if I had to liquidate everything I've got. Because this is a big operation. Our own satellites, our own IT, our own feeds, our own everything, all the DNC lawsuits against us, everything.
Wait, the DNC lawsuits?
DNC lawsuits?
I don't know about that.
What are the DNC doing?
Also, I think that's called being overextended.
Yeah.
That's...
You could also put that thusly. We should have scaled back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Long time ago.
Yeah.
No reason to not have.
Mm-hmm.
That tank was a bad purchase.
No need for that tank. this studio looks great.
Looks
amazing. Completely pointless.
Maybe too big for just one person to sit there. Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. Could be too big.
Maybe a little ostentatious. Ostentatious.
Oh, ooh,
I stumbled upon a pun that Ralphie May made years ago with the name of one of his specials.
Yeah.
I don't like that I remember that.
Mm.
Anyway, look. You need to buy his products because Alex needs money.
Sure.
And you know what? You need them, too. You need the products, too.
Mm-hmm. Had one of the crew members over here. Tore his leg. Had some medical stuff. Went to the doctor. They wanted to put him on stuff for his low T. He didn't do it. Got tested again. He came in on Monday or Tuesday. He said, look at this. I got tested. Started taking Super Male Vitality and look at my numbers. It was incredible. I had to check with lawyers. We can even show you this stuff because, you know, the system's so corrupt.
You're not
supposed to know what herbs can do. But that's the type of things that are happening and that are going on. And I'm just here to tell you, and you've come through over and over again. I keep telling you, we can't keep operating. We can't keep doing it at this level. If you don't support us, if you don't pray for us, if you don't spread the word, we're way more hardcore than Newsmax, OAN, everybody else. And I love them. I hope they get more hardcore than I am. And I like OAN. You know, we're on cloud TV, number one.
OAN and Newsmax are the worst thing that could happen for Alex.
Yeah.
The fact that those two outlets are doing slick shit, they have some sort of financing from some mysterious source, I'm sure.
They have better than 19-year-olds working in their rooms.
They have the ability to pretend that they're news. They don't act like Alex screaming about the devil.
They say the same shit. But
absolutely.
They're like all David Knights.
They have the editorial standards of Alex, but the appearance of a news thing.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing ever for Alex. Yeah. He has no place in the market anymore unless he does something different. He has to pivot. or else like it will just be I'm another one of them that no one will plug because I suck.
Yeah.
Because I'm so toxic.
It's funny. I kind of think Alex is confused by that because I really do think that when he sees his set and the way his show runs, he's like, this looks like a news organization.
Yeah.
You know, he totally thinks that.
Yep.
So how can he look at OAN and Newsmax and be like, they're just like me? You know, like, isn't that wild?
I don't think he watches anything other than...
I
bet he doesn't have the time for it, nor the interest.
That's fair.
I think it's actually kind of interesting that because those things exist, things like Newsmax or OAN, like, David Knight could easily get a job at either of them. Like, they've accidentally created employability for the people that work for Alex. Like,
right, who aren't Alex.
They've created a situation where he can't hold people hostage working at InfoWars anymore.
Yeah.
If you have aspirations to be a right-wing shit journalist, like, there are other options now.
Yeah.
Alex, oh, God.
I think the good news is Schroyer's not going anywhere.
I don't think so.
Even after, you know? Nobody's hiring. Even Newsmax is going to see Owen Schroyer walk in and be like, and you may turn around now.
I can't tell exactly from listening to this, but it does appear that Owen is the only other person who survived the axe.
Oh, shit. The axe. Like, straight up axe.
We'll get to it.
Oh, boy. Now I'm excited.
I might have shown my cards
too early.
You might
have shown too many cards.
We should know that Alex is being very clear that he's not quitting.
Okay.
And so, you know, I said on Joe Rogan's show 5 weeks ago, I said, I've thought about retiring. And the media thought that was just, you know, Jones trying to act like he's this reluctant hero. But that's
shit.
Not what it is.
Reluctant hero?
I only dream about this stuff 90% of the time. Used to 5% of the time. I have basically no life other than this. It's all I do. And I still feel like I'm not doing enough, but I'm not going to quit.
I can't imagine it being his life and him being so bad at this.
Yeah.
Like, what are you putting time into?
I don't know. What could he possibly be? In regards to the show, okay, you've dedicated your life to this show. You talk for 3 to 4 hours for being a very generous day.
Yeah. Or someone cancels.
Right. You tell people that you read, and I think something happens. While you are holding a thing,
he reads headlines.
There are words that he sees that then become brain thoughts, but I don't know what reading would be for him.
The only thing I can imagine that would take a lot of time is maybe it requires like extensive meditation or yoga in order to get into his like prophetic psychic trance or whatever that he says he can kick himself into.
Okay.
So maybe he reads headlines and then like gets into some kind of a weird trance state.
Sure.
And then he reports on what the trance showed him about this this headline as opposed to reading the article.
Yeah.
Because that would take too much time.
Do you know what his mantra is?
What's that?
Soros.
I just can't imagine it. Like, because he doesn't need to practice talking shit. He's really good at it.
No, he's ecstatic at it.
Yeah. The only thing that would take time is preparing, and he clearly doesn't do that. So, I don't know. Anyway, this is not the end. It is a new chapter.
So it's been the greatest pleasure of my life, 27 years on air, knowing all of you and fighting the New World Order and doing all of this. And I'm not going anywhere yet. But you need to know a new chapter's here. You know, when I tell you that the CIA follows us around and the FBI and the Secret Service now, and they come and sit down next to us at the restaurants and tell us that. They come visit us at the hotel and turn our cell phones off so we can't videotape them. And that, you know, the former director of the CIA comes out and says he wants me arrested on Twitter. That isn't me scared. That's not me afraid.
It's me lying.
That's just InfoWars entering a new chapter of life.
Oh.
Embellishing probably more than lying. Because Michael Hayden did tweet an agreement with somebody who tweeted that Alex should be arrested.
Sure.
For his statements about Biden at that rally over the weekend. I don't know. The new chapter.
Yeah,
what is a new chapter? What does that mean? What does that entail? And you can sum it up with a song title, No More Mr. Nice Guy.
Uh-oh.
And so I'm here to tell you that I'm not going to back down. And I'm going to do exactly what I think is the most moral and best thing to do. And that starts with not being a nice guy anymore. not being delusional about where we stand and what we can do, and the fact that I have this tendency to never even shake up things in my own operations because I'm so loyal, even though to the point of our operation not being able to function.
So up to this point, you'd been a Mr. Nice Guy.
That speech, I can only hear that, like, imagining him just giving it directly to the mirror as he's putting the Joker makeup on. You know, like, he's just giving this, like, no more Mr. Nice Guy. All right, put a little bit more rouge in there.
Now, the problem with me, and the reason I've gotten to this point, is I'm too loyal.
Too loyal.
I've never met Wolfgang Helbig.
Never met anybody. He's released the Kraken. Who's Kraken? We changed the Kraken.
But Dandy didn't work here. I don't know that
never
guy.
Never heard of him.
I don't know
never met him.
So, look, a lot of people are gone. Without mentioning David Knight by name, of course,
there's
some other people that you might have gotten used to seeing at InfoWars that aren't around anymore.
And so I pledge to you that I'm going to work harder in the fight against the New World Order, and I'm asking you to fight harder against the globalist. But I've already explained to you we had to let Caitlin Bennett go because we couldn't pay her anymore. We had to let Millie Weaver go. And God bless Caitlin Bennett. She hasn't made up a bunch of stuff about us because we let her go. You've seen what Millie's done. God bless her. It's okay. She did a lot of great work in the past.
No, she did
no,
not.
She did not. No.
I like the idea that Alex is trying to pretend that he didn't fire her for Shadowgate.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
How could she make up all of this stuff when I literally said, I don't get into that stuff. It's too scary. This is the gate of... Yeah.
That weirdo guy from your film showed up at my studio and then was talking about Roger Stone in ways that I don't appreciate.
You're
fired.
Gotta go.
You're fired. it was finances. Sure.
I hate that she's making up that stuff now.
Yeah, but like because of things and finances and the difficulties that Alex is in, the situation, he's had to cut back a whole bunch.
Yeah.
You know, like, there were people like Millie. There were people like Caitlin Bennett that he was funding, and now he can't. He can't do that anymore.
3-4 years ago, when I still had plenty of money, I was funding dozens of organizations, dozens of groups that were doing great work. I was taking the money you sent us buying products and sending it out where I thought it was key to fight the New World Order. I'm down to funding 3 or 4 organizations outside of our own operation now. I've been cut back to a hill I'm on. And I'll die on this hill. But everybody sits here and hears me say that, you don't think I'm serious. So we're going to have to reorganize, and we're going to have to rethink what we're doing. I'm going to stay on the air 4 hours a day. So is on for 3 hours a day. I've got to cancel the nighttime election countdown show just because there's not the crew, there's not the funds, there's not the money. And we're going to have to reorganize some of the other shows and then revamp them and relaunch them because I never give up. But I can give out. It's like an old horse. You know, horses will run and run and run until their heart blows up.
Yeah, he's like a horse with his heart about to blow up.
Yeah. Run faster. Keep going.
So from that clip, what I take away is the election countdown with Deanna Lorraine and Robert Barnes.
Bye.
Over.
Goodbye.
That's gone.
Goodbye.
No, there's no staff for that. Fuck it.
Sorry, Barnes.
Alex is going to be on still, and Owen.
Yeah.
Conspicuous in its absence from that list is the only other show, and that's the David Knight Show.
Well, there's that one.
And Alex is saying he's going to retool and revamp these shows. But obviously, according to David Knight's Twitter, he got fired.
Yeah.
So you're going to revamp it with somebody else, I guess.
Probably. He wants to bring in a younger crowd. So, 11 or 12 year old video game streamer is probably who he's going
guy
to.
Guy who hits things with hammers?
Exactly.
Let's
yes.
bring that guy
yeah,
back.
Yeah. He's electric.
Harrison Smith is probably the best they have there, and that's bad.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's really bad.
No. You might look for the future. It's not bright.
No. You can wear shades.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to, actually. So, I think that this metaphor, too, is a little bit rough, and I don't appreciate it. Alex talking about, you're a horse and you're just running until your heart gives out. David Knight had a heart attack last year, and then he came back to work because he was so passionate about this shit.
That's very funny.
I don't want to be this guy.
Sure,
giving a shit when it's not my time to give
a
shit.
Sure.
But, David Knight gave a lot
to
this.
He did.
And we are now a couple weeks before Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Alex is fucking firing him.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's so bad.
Ah, come on.
That's so shitty.
Come on. Everybody was like, oh, feel bad for Bob Cratchit. When did they think about how Scrooge was like a fucking horse who was going to steal everybody's money until his heart gave out? Nobody's thinking about Scrooge here, okay?
It's dirty, man. He's doing him dirty. He couldn't wait until the new year.
Like, what? God, I just hope that David Knight is overwhelmed by not like sadness or regret or like anything other than just like, I am so stupid for coming back after that fucking heart attack.
Well,
I should never have fucking done that.
I have a slightly different hope, and that is that I hope it gets ugly. Like,
yeah, I do too.
Not for his like nothing negative for him or anything, but like I hope he kept some receipts.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I hope there's something real fun.
Oh yeah.
Hey, look, Alex is this horse, and he's running.
Sure.
And he needs a break.
Any good horse will run till its heart blows. It won't stop. You keep running a horse, it'll go till it dies. And, you know, I've metaphysically but also physically got to that point. I can't stop working. I've got to take a week off. I've got to turn everything off. I've got to do it. And it doesn't matter, we're in the middle of this giant battle, because I know when smoke's coming out of the race car engine, you got to pull over and get oil put in there.
Yeah, you got to put some oil in there.
Sure.
Yeah, you got to take a week off, Alex.
We got to put oil in the horse.
Yeah. You just went to D.C.
Yeah.
You just took a trip to D.C.
Ow, that was work.
That was work.
That was work-related.
That was work.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, he stayed in a nice hotel and ate really well, but that was work.
He should have gone with Owen on the caravan.
That would have been a fun road trip. Yeah.
That would have been a nice time. That
you guys could have broed out.
Workcation.
Yeah. Bonded. Yeah, the whole thing.
Yeah. Take a week off, Alex, please.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, like, what's this clip confused the hell out of me, because Alex describes what his last straw was.
Okay.
And it's something that doesn't make any sense.
And so I thank you all for your support, and I love you, and I appreciate you. The last straw was this morning. I got up and I saw this number. Black Lives Matter raised $10.6 billion since May. When you go in a coffee shop like Starbucks or anywhere and they say, give it to Black Lives Matter, that's just the communists and the globalists and Soros collecting money. The DNC on record got $4 billion of it, of the $10 billion, last time I checked. Look how much the DNC got of that. That was a few months ago that was $4 billion that I read they'd gotten. Who knows what it is now?
That's all just misinterpretations of the Act Blue stuff.
Yeah,
but I don't know why Black Lives Matter getting a certain amount of money would be the last straw for him. Because it doesn't materially affect what he's doing at all.
No, if I understand correctly, I wrote this down as I was tracking the thought, all right? So I wrote down first, BLM raised $10 billion, and then, so I fired David Knight. Is that the if-then statement that I think we're going for here? Because I feel like that's what he's saying.
There's a weird feeling of it, but I think if you distill it down even more, it's like, I saw that Black Lives Matter made $10 billion, and I'm not making close to that.
Yeah.
And it pisses me off.
Yeah. So I'm going to fire David Knight.
And Deanna Lorraine.
Although
she might have been, like, I always got the sense that she was just kind of like a temp.
She's an independent contractor.
She was there on a little bit of a assignment or whatever.
Yeah. She got a cup of coffee.
Yeah, she wasn't there for any kind of long-term.
Yeah.
Thing. I just, I don't know. I'm very conflicted because there's two sides of this that I think. And one is like the David Knight had run afoul of Steve Pachenik in a very serious way.
Yes.
And that is something that is hard to have in-house.
Right.
When you have somebody who is your intro show on your network right before you, who's saying that one of your experts is a piece of shit liar, that's hard.
Yeah.
That's going to be tough to maintain the status quo.
Right. And you're a media outlet that is built entirely around bombast. So it seems fairly simple to be like, okay, well, we've got the most boring man ever, and we've got the most bombastic liar ever. I think we're going to go with the most bombastic liar.
Yeah, yeah. And also, you can't really have a whole lot of stability in keeping people in, like, unengaged, I guess. Engaged, unengaged.
Sure.
You want people actively consuming your material, but you don't want them engaging with it.
Right.
And having David Knight be like, Steve Pachanik's a fucking liar.
Yeah,
it
then you have
too
to
many
stop.
Questions.
Why does David Knight think that he's a liar? Yeah.
And you can't. But why doesn't Alex not? You know, it's too complicated, and you run the risk of kickstarting like critical thinking in your listeners. And
that's no good. Can't have that.
No,
can't have that.
Absolutely not.
Stick with Pachanik.
But it does seem like that was a little bit ago. That was a couple weeks ago. Like
I don't know
if I could draw a causal link here. And Alex is saying that it's because of money.
Sure.
Now, the only things that are gone are the night show, which obviously sucked.
Yep.
The evening show
that
no one cared about.
Or
and
watched.
They canceled when Alex went to D.C. because they didn't have the crew to run it anyway.
that was already a
secondary, tertiary thought for them. And then David Knight's show. It very easily could be monetary budget constraints.
Totally.
But I can also see a possible world where Alex was like, fuck, I got to get rid of David Knight. It's just not working out. This is an untenable situation.
Yeah.
How can we fundraise on that?
Yeah.
How can I drive sales with getting rid of one
David
of the
Knight.
Team?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe.
I have no fucking idea. None of it seems good. Like, none of it seems like this is a...
No.
I wouldn't look at any of these circumstances and be like, I'm going to invest in this business. This business's model looks good.
I'm going to wait until it hits rock bottom first. Then I might invest in it. But right now, it's only going down.
Well, that might be soon. It's unclear. Because last clip here from the 17th, Alex kind of implies that the Christmas sale will determine the future of InfoWars.
Just do your Christmas shopping at InfoWarsStore.com, and we'll expand. But if you don't, we'll contract. And so we're reassessing right now, and InfoWars is contracting ahead of a big offensive. Now I'm going to decide whether it's our big last offensive or just the next of many. But I promise you this, we'll go out in a fiery inferno of liberty in a peaceful operation of total victory.
Peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
I did say offensive a couple times there in a fiery blaze of...
Well, there's that.
But it's peaceful. It's all peaceful. Don't worry.
I would like one last image of InfoWars to be Alex standing in the studio as everything burns around him with his arms outstretched, his head facing and screaming into the sky. I think that's how he's got to go out.
Sure.
Right? That last image. I don't want him to actually be burnt alive.
Like in a
studio.
Movie.
Yeah, like
it
in a movie.
It would be a fitting arc.
Like Gary Oldman in The Professional, whenever his eyes are all bloodshot and he's screaming to this guy. Yeah.
So, actually, I'm going to play this last clip here from the 17th. I have one more, but it's just sort of, like, indicative of, like, me losing my patience with Alex and why we're going to now jump back to the 16th to see what things were like 24 hours prior
to
Alex spending the beginning of his show talking about how dire shit is and David Knight's fired.
So, I like Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador. He's a socialist. But he is a real socialist, and by that I mean he's a populist socialist and is actually trying to get higher wages for people and trying to get corporations to actually not be tax exempt. I don't agree with that model long term, but...
So Alex,
what the fuck does that mean?
Alex has decided that he likes the president of Mexico because there were some comments about COVID precautions that Alex enjoyed. And so now I like him. Now he's a socialist, but he's a real socialist.
Whatever.
You should hate him more.
Fuck off.
You
That's the thing that you hate most. You hate people who don't understand socialism, who think that they're... God, I hate
You hate people who you decide are socialists.
Exactly. Yeah.
So we jump back to the 16th to see, like, are there any signs? Are there any indications that we can get from the 16th that, like, just a day later?
Hey, everybody, it's December 16th. I got to be honest. We've never had more money than we have right now. We're just so fucking flush. Anyways, we'll see how it goes tomorrow.
So we start with Alex, the exciting and interesting source.
America and the rest of the world is under globalist big tech siege, a corporate planetary takeover to replace humans and to make us obsolete. The Von Mises Institute is highly respected with some of the top academics, researchers, economists in the world. They've come out with a big article that's on InfoWars.com where they say this is a dystopic big tech bio/digital technocracy.
The Mises Institute is not super well respected. They're like hardcore libertarian.
No. We've talked about the Mises Institute in the past, and I recall, my feeling on them was they're great.
One of the articles that I covered from their website was a defense of not feeding your children.
Yep.
Because you don't have positive responsibilities towards people.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, great. Yeah.
Oh, boy.
They're cool libertarians.
Yeah, they're also that kind of libertarian that's just a shithead. Like, if you're writing the in defense of not feeding your own kids, you're just a shithead.
But you're
Get
also,
out of this Mises Institute bullshit.
You're also
bullshit.
Not going to not feed your child.
Of course
you're
not.
You're doing this as some kind of a weird mental, intellectual masturbation.
Yeah, it's a shithead thing to do. Yeah, totally.
But Alex, like, not too long ago, was talking about how being a libertarian was the stupidest thing he's ever done.
The dumbest thing
you
could do.
And now he's citing the Mises Institute.
Well, they're great, but they're real libertarians, Dan. And that's the smartest thing you can be.
Anyway, Barnes. His show is canceled now.
Good.
But 24
Alex?
Hours earlier,
we have constitutional lawyer Robert Barnes, who will shoot you straight on where Trump really stands. I can tell you he's in liaison with the White House, even though he doesn't want that known. I can tell you that.
Why can you tell me
that? Separately, I know the White House doesn't even care now.
The White House doesn't care. That's why.
If he doesn't want that known.
Yeah.
Why would you tell me that?
Hey, look, this is private, but Barnes is working with the president. He told me not to tell you.
He doesn't want me to tell. But the White House is... Okay, so the White House is fine. But you know Barnes.
Yeah.
And he personally asked you.
And now there's no show. The evening countdown show is canceled.
Yeah.
But there's no indication of that from Alex on the 16th. There is no sense that, like, Barnes has been doing this show. It's going to come to an end.
Sure.
It seems abrupt.
Yeah, it does seem pretty abrupt.
It seems abrupt. Speaking of which, this seemed abrupt.
But here's the big news we're going to cover at the start of the next segment. Mitch McConnell and his wife, like a lot of Republicans, have been on the communist Chinese payroll for a long time.
Oh, no.
Sure. Oh, no. Let's remember that Mitch McConnell's bad, finally. It's been so long since we've remembered how many people are bad, Dan.
Yep. Mitch McConnell has recognized that Biden won the election. And
so
now
it turns out I remember all these things about him.
Or I'm just going to make up that he's a Chinese agent.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah, so that's great.
That's
now he's a villain.
I like it. Yep. Absolutely, Alex. McConnell is a villain. Go after him.
So the knives are out, folks, and
hell yeah,
there's no doubt that Mitch McConnell is a super bad dude, a bad
operator. Get him!
And we told you Amy Coney Barrett, and we told you Kavanaugh, and we told you all that they were going to betray us.
What?
Because they come out of the swamp.
What?
Yep.
You told them that the only reason to stick with Trump was so he could get those people in.
Yeah. Why didn't you bring up Gorsuch? Also,
well, Gorsuch is too long
Alex
ago.
Was like crying.
And that one's still
about
stolen.
Kavanaugh. Yeah. He was all about Kavanaugh.
This is the moment we've been waiting
Alex
for.
Alex was so in favor of that as if he was Squee himself.
This is the culmination of everything we've worked for.
It was a little more confusing, the Barrett nomination, because, you know, you did have Barnes coming in and saying this is a really bad idea. They shouldn't go this route. And Alex having to dance around and like, but he did support her nomination.
Yeah.
He was in favor of
it. We like Catholics. No, we don't like Catholics. Oh, well, I guess we don't like Catholics. Somebody else is like, I think she's great. And Alex is like, I think she's great, too. Moving on.
But they're all villains now, man.
Yeah.
We got a lot
Good.
Of new villains
Love
for
it.
Alex.
Fight amongst yourselves. I want to make you hurt each other more.
So Roger Stone, not too long ago, came on and broke some gigantic news.
Yeah, North Korea.
Yeah, boats.
Yep.
Maine.
Boats from North Korea.
Arrived. With
Sailed
ballots.
With ballots.
Uh-huh.
To Maine.
Arrived in Maine.
Maine?
United
States, Maine.
Apparently there's a different situation.
Oh, did something else happen?
McConnell warns GOP of Electoral College brawl in Congress. Trump's got his electors. They've seated theirs. They locked the real electors out of the state houses. We're just supposed to just go along with this and not let the president and the voters of America press their attacks. Yes, they've gotten screwed the legislatures. Yes, they've been screwed, you know, so far by most of the governors because they're all a bunch of cowards.
Sure.
But when you get down to the brass tacks, you see mathematics that are impossible in all those states where Trump's winning by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 points. And then as soon as they, quote, close the polls, all these trucks pull up, food delivery vehicles, you name it, Chinese men mainly, run in
what?
With these big containers of ballots. And then inside we have the footage of the workers, and they're cramming them in as fast as they can. You have the Chinese government planes landing the day of.
Wait, what now?
You have the charter numbers. I mean, private jets flying out of China, landing. Men running in with big boxes of ballots.
So now the Chinese government is sending their own planes with charter numbers.
Right.
And arriving with ballots on election day.
Okay.
So is this in addition to the North Korean boats?
Okay. So is the North Korean boat like a backup?
Could be.
You know, like they're like, okay, we'll send the boats in like March of this year.
Yeah.
And China's going to have the plan to airlift them in and everything. Hmm. But hey, worst comes to worst, the boats will be in Maine in November.
Here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that the Chinese planes brought in ballots, like boxes of ballots,
sure,
for Biden, right?
Okay.
Now, the North Korean boats were rogue. They were crazy.
they were out of control for Jorgensen. Jorgensen. Yes. It's all Jorgensen?
They were going libertarian.
Are we sure they
libertarian
were
down ballot?
Are we sure these weren't ballots for the 2016 election and the North Koreans just got to Maine?
That would make more
sense. Is it all for Ron Johnson? Yeah.
That would make more sense.
That would make more sense.
I just feel like this is silly, and I'm going to need a lot more proof of this, which Alex is not forthcoming with.
That's unsurprising.
But something that is also not surprising.
What's that?
Alex wants a do-over.
Second senator leans towards objecting to Electoral College certification. Yes. Told you Rand Paul's a man of honor. That's who we need for president in 4 years.
Get the fuck out of here.
Pence, Paul Pence ticket will be good.
Okay. All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Paul Pence.
That would really inspire the masses. Those two dipshits.
Ass.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you want Rand Paul back. How fun. How interesting.
Pence can't be president because nobody wants to live in a world where we have to call his wife the first mother. That's just not happening. It's just not happening.
And Rand Paul, like, you had your chance, Alex. You turned your back on him for Trump. You know that.
Yep, it's over.
We all watched that happen.
Oh, yeah. Rand isn't like Joe Rogan, where you can turn your back on him and he'll accept you once more. No, I know, because he refuses to debate me, and that's the only thing that makes sense.
Yeah. So Robert Barnes, host for another couple hours of the election countdown,
sure,
is on. And he wants you to know that he also thinks that Mitch McConnell is a traitor.
So the effect is it leads an inference that, all along, these were people who were undermining the president. And now it's like the Godfather line when the Marlon Brando's character says he should have seen it was that one guy all along. It was Mitch McConnell all along betraying and undermining and sabotaging the president. It's not a coincidence. It was his attorney general.
Then how did you get tricked?
Who was the only one to refuse to speak out or join the Texas lawsuit. So now the president knows that these were traitors in his own house all along.
Well, yeah, Trump's called basically for the arrest of the governor of Georgia. I mean, these people are criminals. We need
to
get,
I want that
let's
too.
Talk about Trump. What Trump should do, where Trump's really at, where we're at.
So Mitch McConnell was screwing it up the whole time. He was the traitor behind the scenes.
Okay. All right. No. If you try and pull that now,
yeah,
after this long.
Outrageous.
After this long, then either you have to shut up forever, because everything that you've told me, if Mitch McConnell's the secret bad guy the whole time, he was right for these there. He's right there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no deep state. He's in your face.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and it's I don't know. It's trying too hard to make an interesting plot twist,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
And I am not going to go along for this ride.
Yeah,
and I pity anybody who does. But you see this, like, there are just like shoring up of ranks of like the people who are blindly willing to just completely throw away any kind of semblance of dignity that they have for Trump.
Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah.
Everybody else, they were secretly villains.
Evil.
And I have bad news for you.
What's that?
That Pence-Paul ticket might not be happening after all.
Oh, no.
There's reasons to doubt that Pence is truly loyal to Trump. During Access Hollywood, Pence was trying to navigate Trump out so that he could be top of the ticket in 2016. It was Pence who helped drive Flynn out. It was Pence who helped negotiate with Ecuador to get Julian Assange arrested and extradited. So Pence has not been a real Trump ally. And a lot of the never Trumpers and problem people have come from Pence's group of people and his staff in the White House.
Uh-oh, looks like Pence is an enemy too.
Good. Good. They're all enemies. Arrest the governor of Georgia. Veto the defense bill. Tear this whole place down around your ears.
No, let's not do that. Let's not do that. It's just a little much. It's a little much. It's a little cartoonish. Yeah. the way they're like defining good and bad people now.
I think it's really just sad though, because it's like you obviously weren't actually fooled. There's no possible way that you could be fooled by that shit.
You knew.
You had to have known that they were lying the whole time and that they didn't really like Trump, because Trump's a fucking lunatic and they're all career politicians.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. But this is the payoff of that.
If you don't know that, then, that's just so sad. Yeah. Especially because I've been telling you that for my entire life.
And it's really interesting for me in particular to see like the turning on people so bluntly and so stupidly. Like,
and instantly.
Bill Barr was like, he went back and forth a number of times.
Oh, yeah.
And now we have Barnes coming in here saying that everyone's an enemy.
Yeah. Bill Barr was a yo-yo for a while, and now he's permanently walking the dog.
Yeah, he's out.
Yep.
So on the 17th, we learned that Barnes' show is gone. But
does Barnes know now?
On the 16th,
Robert Barnes was like, so busy he couldn't host the election countdown, but he's back weeknights, 7 to 9 p.m. most nights with Jon LaRain.
So on the 16th, he's promoting the show as Barnes is back. He's been too busy, but now he's back.
That's very funny.
Next day, gone.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I do kind of feel for David Knight a little bit. He's losing his job right before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Sure.
That's fucking tough. I enjoy seeing bad things happen to Robert Barnes in a different way. And I know that if he doesn't have his fucking moonlighting gig at InfoWars, he's going to be fine scamming other people with fake constitutional lawsuits.
I just enjoy
watching him get beat.
I think he has like a newsletter on Dave Rubin's Kickstarter Patreon clone.
He's going to land fine.
He's doing all right. So Alex says farewell to Barnes. Say, we'll see you on the evening show that won't exist in a day.
Hilarious.
And now I must get to another guest. And it is a guest that I got the privilege of hanging out with in D.C. when I was there yelling and all this shit.
Oh no.
Someone who had the best speech.
Oh no.
Well, there were a lot of powerful messages at the second Million MAGA march. This one was about a third as big as the gigantic one that was a month ago. There were still hundreds of thousands of people total, five or six different events going on. But last time I had the most powerful message of, we're not going to back down to the globalists, the New World Order, Biden's a Chi-Com agent, Nick Fuentes had the most powerful message at these events. The crowds
that's
were just screaming. He couldn't even hardly give a speech.
Yeah, so Nick Fuentes had the best
speech. That's who I thought it was going to be
now,
for sure.
It's interesting because I watched hours of these rallies.
Yeah.
Nick Fuentes did not speak at either of the rallies that I watched. He was clearly speaking in some impromptu fashion.
He was speaking
fashion.
In the beer hall putch? Is that what's going on there?
He was speaking into a bullhorn on the street.
Something.
Yeah, he was not at these events. And there might have been like a third event that I just don't even know about. But
Klan meeting?
I only have so much time in my life. No, I can only watch so many of these rallies.
That is fair.
So, you know, McConnell, Barrett, Kavanaugh.
Sneaky snakes.
Pence, they're all the enemy now. The GOP is the enemy.
Yeah, of course it is.
You know, I said Sunday, when I had a chance to see Saturday speeches by Fuentes on my Sunday show, I said, I think Fuentes is right. The Republican Party, the establishment are the enemies. But we have to make sure that doesn't get Democrats elected. We have to make sure we target neocons and others to get them out and put populists and America firsters in. But now you see McConnell saying, oh, we need to be nice to the Democrats. That's how we're going to win Georgia and let them engage in fraud. He's definitely working for the other side and a Chi-Com operative.
That's not what McConnell's saying. He's saying that, you know, insisting on denying reality is probably going to hurt our electoral chances.
Hey, you guys, you know how you're screaming that all elections are frauds and that you shouldn't vote? That's going to hurt us in the elections where we need you to vote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you're a Chinese agent.
Oh, damn it. Maybe I've gone too far. I'm Mitch McConnell, so I will learn the error of my ways.
Nope.
No.
You will end up having the people that you have inspired and enabled and facilitated now screaming at rallies about how we need to destroy you.
Excellent.
But first, here's one of the clips of Nick Fuentes laying out the future and the future battle plan at the second big march in D.C.
And the first Million MAGA march, we promised that if the GOP would not do everything in their power to keep Trump in office, then we would destroy the GOP.
Yeah! Yeah!
Bush.
Destroy the GOP.
Is there anything you won't chant?
They love chants.
They fucking chant all the goddamn time.
It's fun.
That's fair.
So Alex is like, I think he sees that video and he remembers like being in DC and he remembers like kind of mad at those Women for America First people.
Yeah, they
I don't like
me
how
out.
They organize these rallies and then don't let me speak at them because I'm entitled
mean.
To.
This is a parallel or an allegory or like a gauge on a submarine or a battleship or an army tank or a truck.
Give five
you
more
have
examples.
These women that are neocons, and I'm not going to attack them, but the point is they get all the permits, they take control of the thing. And then when you hear the speakers they've got, it is just people are falling asleep. And then I show up with a bullhorn, or Nick shows up, and you get, you know, out of the 100,000 people, 20,000 that hear you run over, and they're all cheering, and then it gets 5 million, 10 million views. And then the poor Republicans with kind of a mainline rhino, a little Trumpist type deal, they get 20,000 views. It's not popular. It's not constitutional. It's not what made America. But everyone's always running away from what victory is.
So Alex, I don't think is wrong. I mean, he's exaggerating stuff.
Sure,
but like,
sure.
Yeah, a lot of those other speakers were a snooze.
Right.
And
no, yeah, I agree.
And Alex yelling had some kind of star quality to him.
He gets people to chant.
But he's also sort of misunderstanding like spectacle for substance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't think that there's anything like him being able to draw a crowd of 10,000, let's say, isn't an indication that he knows the Constitution.
I don't think there's a difference for him between substance and spectacle.
Nope.
You know, it's not that he understands or misunderstands it, or it's just that it doesn't exist to him.
Yeah.
You know, like 5 million views means 500 million people love this, right? That's how it works. Yeah, that's the only thing that makes sense.
Also, I'd like to clarify one thing. These people starting these rallies and organizing them and getting the permits does mean that they can choose who speaks at it and who doesn't.
Well, I feel like I'm missing the part where he's going to say, like, so next time we're going to get the permit.
No.
He's not going to say that?
No.
Well, see, because it feels like that's the real complaint here.
He's
just whining that he's not the winner.
He's too busy with all the work.
He is not.
Psychic trances take a while.
You know what? I know somebody who just lost his job and is free.
I don't think he's going to fill those shoes. So Nick Fuentes has an interesting idea for the way forward for these weirdo conservatives.
You know, it's interesting. There were a lot of Democrats that were saying, destroy the GOP. This is a message I could get behind. But of course, that's only the first half of the message. Destroy the GOP as it exists. Destroy the GOP establishment. And what we have to do now is replace it with a GOP that truly represents the American people. We have to destroy the fake GOP establishment headed by Mitch McConnell that puts America last. We have to primary all those people, replace them in the House, in the Senate, in the state governments. And we have to replace them with people that truly believe in America first, truly believe in the kind of conservatism that President Trump pushed when he ran in 2016.
Look, Nick Fuentes is like 14 years old, so I'm going to forgive him for not remembering that they did this already.
Yeah, it was called the Tea Party.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
this is the crazier version that you guys wanted last time.
Yeah, this already happened. We're in another cycle of this. Like, it's not the real whatever. Yeah. Who cares? I'm going to forgive that. What I'm not going to forgive is the fact that he doesn't remember they did that this year.
Yes, they did do that this
year
as well.
Laura Loomer was running. Yep. All these other people. Enrique Tarrio was going to run. Everybody lost their fucking primaries because the people that you end up attracting are
it's just because
candidates.
It's just because the GOP people in the primary thought they were voting for a GOP candidate because they'd been in there for a while, but they were actually voting for a traitor.
Right. Okay. Gotta go.
There we go. No, I think we should all be screaming.
I apologize. I believe Loomer did win her primary.
That's true.
That is, she lost in the general.
Well, that was
But
tough.
A lot of those other one folks lost in primaries.
Yeah. No, I think we should
Info
all
Wars
be...
InfoWars employee Deanna Lorraine.
Yes, she might have won.
She did.
I think we should all be screaming at establishment Republicans that the only way that the GOP survives is if they all band together and crush the extreme right wing. And I think we tell the extreme right wing that the only way the GOP survives is if they band together and crush the establishment Republicans.
I get the sense that at least half of that's going to happen on its own.
That's probably true. That's why we got to make sure both happens. Because if one half happens, we're going to get to the Tea Party and then double it.
I don't know if that's avoidable.
Yeah.
But interestingly, Nick Fuentes and Alex have slightly different strategies about what they should do in Florida. In Georgia.
I'm of the belief that the first blow that we have to strike against the Republican Party is withholding our votes in Georgia, withholding our votes in the Senate runoff, and preventing them from reclaiming control of the Senate.
Now, that's where I may disagree with you.
Do it.
Alex, like, hold on.
Do it.
Alex is not into that. That is, he's like, nah, I don't know about that. When his position is like, yeah, if you're primarying some Republican, you know, with a crazy person,
great,
I'm all for that.
Yeah,
but torpedoing the election just and letting a Democrat win, I don't know. Whereas Nick Fuentes is, we need to punish the Republican Party, withhold our votes. So he's very much like accelerationist thing, and Alex is more like, I don't know.
These people disgust me.
Yes.
Like, straight up, how fucking cruel are you to me to be like, we're gonna kill everybody with Trump as the king of God and the good Lord and Jesus Christ. And after losing the election, what we need to do is we need to focus on small elections and we need to primary the Republicans. Fuck you.
Yeah.
The Lord chose Trump, but the Lord also needs primaries from time to time. Fuck off.
Yeah, what the Satan made God forget was county seats.
Yeah, what? What are we doing?
Yeah. So Nick has an interesting angle on QAnon.
What I like about the QAnon stuff is that it gets a lot of people to believe the right things, although it gets them to believe the right things for the wrong reasons. It gets them to start thinking about connections between global special interests. It gets them to ask the right questions about pedophiles and satanic elites and things like that, largely for the wrong reasons, but it does get them to some of the right places.
I do appreciate the hubris of all of these idiots who are like, you know what? What we need to do is get the swirling masses to believe something similar to what I believe, and then I'll be able to control it.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't quite work that way,
usually. No, it doesn't.
No.
Sorry, Fuentes.
But I will say, again, I'm going to give Nick a pass on this because he is a wee baby, but he seems to be patting himself on the back a little bit for discovering the concept of local politics.
Of course.
You know, Trump launched this hostile takeover of the top of the party. I mean, literally becoming the president. And now we have to wage a war for everything beneath the presidency. We have to wage a war to primary House Republicans, Senate Republicans. We have to run in state races and local races. We have to take over the RNC and the party apparatis. So I'm
General
actually
Fuentes,
more energized.
I've not heard it better said. That was perfectly said.
It's so trite.
I have in 2018. I have in 2016. Uh-huh. I have in 2014. Uh-huh. I have in 2012.
Yeah, I don't. This is not revolutionary stuff.
Nah.
This is very bland.
Yeah.
And that's kind of one of the things that I think is interesting and a little bit scary about Nick is that, like, beneath this, there's also an obsession with the idea of fighting against amnesty.
Yeah.
And identity and America.
Yeah.
You know, like all this stuff. But it is also like, okay, yeah, you're talking about running for like a local election.
Yeah,
you're running for like the school president.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Yeah,
like that's the banality, the minutia, right. The boringness
right.
of it, with the evilness hidden behind it,
right.
is kind of scary.
Oh, Biden is stealing the election and he's killing all of us with the fucking globalists. And that is why I'm going to vote no on the expansion of that road. Route 6 stays the same length.
Yeah. So Nick's out of there. In and out. Got to destroy the GOP.
Got it.
Now, we're going to play a new game on this show. I'm going to play an angry clip from Alex Jones.
All right. See what a...
Without who it's targeted at.
Okay.
And you have to guess who is he yelling
All
about.
Right. Okay. I like this game.
This is called Guess Who Alex is Telling to Burn in Hell.
Burn in hell, you little Satanist. On a power trip about how great you are and how amazing you are and how ascendant you are as you bring in global collapse and extermination. Burn in hell.
Who is Gates. Alex? No.
It's little. I thought the little was
you
the thing.
You can ask me.
I can ask you two questions.
Two questions.
All right. Rich or no?
Very.
Very rich.
Very rich.
Obscenely rich.
I don't know if I want to say obscenely, but quite rich.
Quite rich.
Yes.
All right.
I'm going to give you five questions.
I wish I had asked a more specific question because very rich is a more subjective question that I think I want.
Super rich.
Billion or higher?
Probably. I don't know. I have a really hard time.
So not one of our major.
No.
It's not Soros. It's not Bezos.
That's two questions.
It's not that. Oh,
out of five.
Damn it. Have we mocked his or her appearance?
No. What?
No, no, not us.
Oh.
I meant Alex. I don't know why I'm saying we.
No.
Alex hasn't mocked their appearance?
I don't think so.
Well, then it's definitely not Stelter.
I'm not sure I've heard Alex bring this person up before.
Well, this is unfair.
Yep.
Little person.
That's why it's a game.
There's a AOC. I'm going to go with AOC.
He brings her up all the time.
Oh, shit. That's right.
That's
what
four.
Was I thinking? God damn it. What was I thinking?
You have all the pieces you need.
Bezos' wife.
No.
Oh, okay.
Tom Cruise.
Oh, because of the clip of him yelling about COVID. God damn it. Yeah. Oh, Dan, you played the player. Well, well done.
That's why we play the game.
That's a good one to open with. Yeah.
Yep. So, Nick Fuentes is gone. Barnes has come on. There's no indication of anything trouble in paradise, as it were. And I get a little bit bored, honestly, listening to this episode now. Because, like, listen to this. This is 30 seconds. This is what Alex thinks is has substance to it. Mm. This is what he thinks his job is.
Pompeo tests negative for COVID-19. Well, quarantine. Oh, my gosh. Oh, it's so scary. Even though it has a death rate of, like, 0.00 whatever. It's all just an excuse for Tom Cruise and Nancy Pelosi to just act arrogant and scream at people and do whatever they want. Over-the-counter home test for COVID-19 gets U.S. green light so we can have more hysteria, more fear. Kansas mayor resigns over violent threats for backing mask mandate. I don't feel safe anymore. Ugh. We'll move to North Korea, you witch.
That's it. Like, this is the substance of his news breakdown. Like, it's kind of like a dishy insult after reading a headline.
Yeah.
It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
This is bad.
Cruz didn't need that shit. He gets to act like he owns everything and runs the place because he's the figurehead of a religion.
I also find it strange that Alex isn't taking issue with the Scientology aspect.
No problem there.
No.
Well, that makes perfect sense, though.
So Alex has been dealing with Hayden, General Hayden, saying on Twitter that he agreed with someone else who tweeted that Alex should be arrested.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex is pumped.
Of course he is.
Well, yesterday, I was getting more emails and more calls about CNN and all these publications saying Alex Jones may be arrested. On Saturday, there were a lot of publications that said, and I gave a speech in D.C., did Jones threaten to kill Biden? And then by Sunday, calls for Jones to be arrested for threatening to kill Joe Biden. And then by Monday, Alex Jones to be arrested for threatening to kill Joe Biden. That's how the media works, how their gaslighting and fraud works.
Alex is so excited about this.
Yeah, like, that's got to give him a huge boner.
Yeah,
totally.
It's Michael Hayden is paying attention to him in a way that he probably would never.
I got months out of it. Yeah.
And so now Alex is going to imply that maybe Michael Hayden's a pedophile.
I mean, this is a stolen valor monster. He also is involved with some very mysterious international orphanages and transfer of children. I can tell you that's being looked into already. I got contacted by some folks. I'll just leave it at that. And that's why I said he looks like a child molester. I'm not saying he's a child molester. I'm just saying Brian Stelter looks about as creepy as you'd get. You're not going to let him babysit your kids. You look at Hayden's own Twitter photo is the creepiest photo of him. Please pull up Michael T. Hayden's Twitter, folks. I want to show people he's like in a Steelers cap on a mountaintop.
It's not that creepy.
Sometimes I'm just not sure if things are real.
No.
You know,
it's very weird.
I was listening to that like in my head, just part of this being like, is this real? Am I dreaming? What's happening? What's going on?
It's pretty strange. It's like, this guy has tweeted something I dislike. I am going to accuse him of stealing children from an orphanage.
Yeah.
Because he looks creepy to me.
Yeah.
It's very weird. But Alex has a gotcha. And he got this gotcha from, I don't know, I guess Harrison Smith, probably someone who works at InfoWars, scrolled through Hayden's Twitter timeline and found some things to get upset about.
These guys are great researchers.
He put out a bunch of tweets saying pro-life about Trump. Thank you, Amy COVID Barrett, for a groundbreaking decision.
So what this is he had tweeted a picture of like graves, and it was from another account. He had retweeted it with a quote tweet saying pro-life question mark.
Right.
So that's
right,
what's
right,
going.
Right.
That's the first tweet.
Sure. Sure. Sure.
And then they put out, it's a joke account, an image of a mass grave, implying that Trump's killing everybody because the Supreme Court ruled churches could be opened and it's unconstitutional to close them. But then literally days later, this is November 26th, you go to his Twitter and show people this, guys. He puts out a Pittsburgh Steelers. That's November 26th. On November 27th, he tweets, let's do some football. Pittsburgh proud. Happy birthday. No social distancing NFL game. Now, folks, again, imagine the irony of this. He's saying Trump is mass graving people. Trump is murdering people because a Baptist or Catholic church or Buddhist temple or mosque can be open with 10 people, 1,000, whatever. Walmart can be open. Target can be open. Disneyland can be open. But your churches can't. Liquor stores are open. All this is going on, but he's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. They actually work with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm stalking you, Hayden. Open source, baby.
Open source, baby.
Wow.
So that gif that he tweeted was from last season.
Sure.
In the football.
Right.
Back when there were huge crowds
for
sporting events.
Yeah.
It's just a gif of Steelers fans putting their towels in the air.
Great.
Yeah. It's not a gotcha. It's not. It's an old picture.
Nah, the only thing sadder than reading those tweets is scrolling through his timeline to find those tweets.
Yeah, and then Alex that's thinking sad. That this is like an own.
Yeah, that's
I gotcha.
Sad.
I gotcha, yeah. Hayden. Open source.
Yeah,
baby.
That's not good. Log off the internet. Get off the internet. I mean, when you read too much about tweets.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can read, everybody, reading one tweet is too many tweets. But when you read about tweets, now we're in real, get off.
That's what a whole lot of, like, National File articles are about.
Yeah.
They're just about someone's tweets.
So fucking crazy.
Yeah, it seems trivial.
Yeah.
So I was getting a little bit, like, I don't know, I feel untethered. I don't know what's going on here. I feel like it's really important that Alex is downsizing.
Well, I've got bad news for you. Effective immediately, Dan.
Oh, no.
You are fired.
That's all right.
Sorry.
It doesn't feel like at all like anything's going on here on the 16th. It seems very much just business as usual.
Right.
And it kind of was boring me.
Yeah.
It's just Nick Fuentes has a great idea to destroy the GOP, but also I don't want to do what Nick Fuentes is suggesting
totally.
In order to destroy the
It'd
GOP.
Be mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the Democrats would have seats, and I don't like that.
I don't like that.
And I just kind of like, I don't know. And then Patrick, I can't remember his last name. It'll come to me later.
Dempsey.
No, he's the guy who's the Overstock CEO who was dating that Russian spy.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
Is
yeah,
a little
yeah.
bit
Marina
out there.
Marina Abramovich?
Bettina.
Bettina, that's right.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's back and he has an interesting story to tell.
He and the MyPillow guy should have a tag team wrestling team, like something.
I didn't bring this up. This guy, Patrick, the Overstock CEO,
yeah.
introduced Michael Flynn at the rally.
Of course he did. Yeah, why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't yeah. I know that? Why wouldn't I just agree with that?
I didn't bring that up on the show because his speech was kind of like, I don't care.
Of course.
But he is back with Alex, and man, he has got a big old story to tell.
I believe your story. I know there were a lot of stings on Hillary. She was very arrogant. She was taking over, what, $2 billion from different governments, individuals, anybody that would give her money. She'd give them access. That's what the email server shows. I know the Southern District has been investigating her. I know they've been investigating Hunter. When you came out and said this, and I saw the video yesterday, I said, that's the same stuff I got told, that there were successful stings on Hillary. But then when they thought she was going to win, that all got scrubbed, and that the Justice Department has all that info and has been protecting her. So thanks for joining us. You've got the floor here to give us the latest.
So Alex has played a clip of Patrick from another show.
Sure.
And he's telling this story that he got approached by the FBI to facilitate a sting operation on Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
And then eventually they're like, yeah, we're not going to do anything. We got her, you know, taking a bribe from a foreign country.
Sure,
not going to do anything about it.
Right.
And then Patrick didn't say anything about it until
now. 4 years or whatever. Yeah.
So
that's odd.
He seems credible.
That sounds right. Yeah.
I wondered as you were playing that, why have me on? I told the story on another show, but I'll give you some more detail. This is true. By the way, I'm in an incredibly precarious situation. Well, I've already.
No, I want you to know why you did it. I have a good idea. The country's in trouble. It's time for us all to give our maximum.
Yeah, I mean, the hell with it. I've been getting myself an ulcer for 2 years, wanting to come out, but being told, trust the process, trust the process, trust the process. About a year ago, there was a conversation or a communication between myself and the powers that be that said, I am not comfortable being part of a cover-up. And they said, you wait till after the election. After the election, you can say whatever the hell you want to say. Tell the whole story. So I waited to the
really
election,
nice of them.
And I couldn't live with myself if I'm not coming out about it now.
So he's got it. He's got to tell his story now because the election's over. He's free to tell it all.
Throw tomatoes at this man. So throw tomatoes at this man.
In 2015, December 2015,
yes. Yeah,
coming up on 5 years.
Right.
He was approached by the FBI.
Of course.
And they said, in December of 2015, we need you. This is word for word. I have something called an eidetic memory. When I tell you something's word for word, it's word for word. They came back and said, this part, the FBI is asking for your help again. There are two groups investigating the FBI, in the FBI investigating Hillary Clinton, Patrick. One is the email group, and we know that's a whitewash, but there's a group in New York who really wants to put her ass in stir. They're going after her financials, the Clinton financials. Comey has been blocking them from acting, saying there wasn't enough to justify them going aggressive in their investigative techniques.
I don't know if it should be seen as like normal that an investigation starts with wanting to incarcerate somebody.
Yeah, that's probably
it
not
seems
good.
Like that's a tainted investigation.
It's almost like one that wouldn't really hold up upon
And it seems like if any of this is true, which I don't think any of it is,
no.
Comey might have been coming from a position of there's no reason to engage in an investigation like this.
It could be a cover-up, or it could also be, you guys are telling me that you want to talk to the CEO of Overstock.com to try and sting Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Guess who doesn't get to do that? You guys. Go away now.
Can I show all of my cards?
Sure.
I don't believe any of this.
I will say this.
I believe the CEO is making this shit up.
Right off the bat, the only thing eidetic about this guy's memory is that he was able to remember the word eidetic.
He did memorize that.
That is bullshit.
So here's the deal. Turkey has already bribed Hillary Clinton for $20 million.
Well, sure.
So now we just need to get Patrick to facilitate another bribe.
Okay.
So they were saying that Comey had been saying up to that point there was not enough predicate information to justify a sting. However, Patrick, they told me information has come in that Hillary's accepted a bribe. She took a $20 million bribe from Turkey. And that information has come in, and the group in New York has now used that as leverage to force Comey to sign off on a sting, and he has approved a sting, and the New York group is sending to you for you to help, and you're going to facilitate a bribe. And there's another government that was known to want to bribe Hillary.
He has an eidetic memory. He should remember.
You're going to befriend that government. You're going to befriend the bag man in that government. And somewhere, and it's going to happen in the next 2 months, Patrick, somewhere there's going to be a room. And Hillary Clinton walks into that room.
Somewhere
and the
there's
bag man's
be a room.
In that room.
Sure, it's like all the countless FBI stings we've seen. It's very formulaic.
Well, it was a very specific thing they told me, that there's going to be a room. She's going to come in for 10 minutes. The bag man's going to be in for 10 minutes. They're going to be there alone. And that's it. That's your assignment.
So he's got to befriend this government, some unnamed other government.
Yeah, the government.
And insinuate himself in such a way that he can be the go-between between
correct.
The bag man
correct.
And Hillary Clinton
right.
to get this. By the way,
I'm just going to throw this out there as like
please.
A huge question.
Sure.
For this story, I'm just going to go out and say, why did they come to him?
Because
does he have experience cozying up to governments or in any sort of like
he did date that Russian spy.
Well, see, now I think that might be a bigger red flag here.
He started Overstock.
Okay.
So yeah, I don't buy any of this. It's
no.
so complicated, and I just can't imagine any of this.
We know you're dating
also
a compromised
also,
agent of a foreign government.
I don't know the
we
timeline
want
on
you
that.
To be our sting guy.
I don't know the timeline on that. Uh-huh. It might have been at a different point in
sure,
his life.
Sure.
That said, this is also a sting on that bag man. because that other government isn't going. They think that this is a real.
No, no, no. They're going along with bribe. The whole, no, the whole sting is planned. The bagman is not in.
So
on
now
it.
The foreign government is trying to entrap Hillary Clinton along with the help of the FBI.
Probably.
I don't think so.
I think the only people that aren't interested is Turkey. They want their money back. I guess that's it.
Get me the overstock guy. So, look, I think that Patrick had a really reasonable response to this. And
sure.
It's that, hey, man, if I do this, I'm going to commit crimes. You better not arrest me for those crimes I commit in order to set this up. I need immunity.
This sounds like somebody writing a much better movie where they didn't commit all the crimes that they did. Mm-hmm. Instead, they were not crimes.
This is the clip where it really turned for me, too. Uh-huh. From a, like, story to a, ooh.
They gave me that, and so it's up to me how to create that event. So it's all up to me. And I told them, look, to make that happen, there's going to be some bribing and stuff. And I need something called an axe, otherwise illegal letter, which is a letter they can give you when they're asking you to do something like this, like get involved in a federal election and bribe someone. And they went back, and I see the time. I'll finish this in 45 seconds, and then we'll continue the story. I'll finish this part. They said, we'll have to go back to the office and discuss it. They came back in 2 days and said, word for word now, we've been told to tell you we can't give you a letter, but if you'll come to D.C., the director says you can be shown a letter. And I said, oh, this is coming from Director Comey. And two federal agents looked me in the eye and said, and and I said, oh, this is coming from Director Comey and the president. And two federal agents looked me in the eye and said, and I said, well, you can tell Director Comey and President Obama that from them is good enough for me. Consider Hillary bribed. Come back.
We'll be right back. Oh, so it's Obama tried it. This is why this is so big. And we know the Obamas and the Clintons don't like each other. Stay with us.
Holy shit.
Okay.
Holy shit.
Okay. Okay. So this is.
Wow.
This is 2015.
Wow.
Obama is like, it's time to take Hill down. It's time to take her down. I had her as Secretary of State for long enough, and now we just got to get rid of her.
Well, it starts to make sense when they come back from break and they lay out more of what the conspiracy is here. But yes, it is a little bit hard to put your head around, like, ah, yes, Obama trying to sting
Famous
Hillary.
Famous for stinging. Also, stop me real quick. If I because I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Is it regular practice for the FBI to clandestinely come to you and say, we need you to sting the most famous woman in the world? And let me tell you this.
Mm-hmm.
We've got no ideas. Go for it, buddy. Yeah. However you think you can make this sting happen, we're not even giving you help.
You're basically MacGyver.
Yeah.
And
what?
Look. You know what to do. Yeah. Look, we here at the FBI don't like to micromanage.
Yeah, right. Yes.
Comey said, do your thing. Just do your thing.
Obama famously lax.
Secret super spy guy from Overstock.
Sell me on this story more. Give me more.
I'm imagining this guy just like coming in from the ceiling on wires. Apparently, that's my only image of spy work.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
So Patrick, they come back from break, and he says something really interesting.
Okay.
That makes me think like, oh, he might know more about Alex than he's letting on.
When the dust settles, everyone's going to see the mainstream press. They're the kooks that they're part of this. They're trying to keep people from understanding what they're seeing in front of them. And good for you. So respect. I'm trying to say in a graceful way.
Sir.
I don't know about your past beliefs. Respect. The only thing is, I want to be clear. I have nothing to do with white identitarianism. Anything racist. I assume you're on the same.
Oh, that's the media. Well, I mean, the media says Trump's a Nazi. I wouldn't support Trump if he was. It's all pure crap.
Why did you need to bring that
apropos
up?
Apropos of nothing, yeah. I am just going to be here on InfoWars saying that I don't believe in any of this white identitarian nonsense, just in case anyone asks.
Yeah, I don't know. I granted, I have not taken as many media appearances as some.
Sure, true.
I've never found that I needed to distance myself from white identitarianism in any appearances. Seems like if you do that, it kind of is because you know that the person you're talking to who might have some leanings in that direction.
Yeah.
Or maybe you're just sitting there thinking like, oh, I'm being interviewed after Nick Fuentes. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really complicated kind of situation. Look, before we go any further, I just want to let you know that I do not support the actions of the Thuggy cult from Temple of Doom. I don't support that. I don't know why I need to say that here, apropos of nothing.
Raises questions. So the sting, it works.
Yeah.
They succeed. They pull it off.
I forgot. This ends with a success.
Yes.
Yeah. And absolutely. Then the cover up.
Oh, it was so good.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I got gotcha.
Patrick pulled off probably the best sting since the sting.
That sounds right. That sounds right.
Then things fell apart.
Oh, no.
So back to I don't want to skip the punchline on all this. So they told me I needed to forget it. And I said, why? And they said, look, it's been decided at the top. We've realized there's no side. Nothing's going to stop Hillary Clinton from being president now. And the day she's president, she's going to send her men over the FBI, her people over the FBI, and ask who was part of investigating Hillary. And everyone who was part of this, Patrick, we're all going to be destroyed from the top to the bottom. And this includes you, Patrick. So it's been decided at the very top, this mission has been scrubbed, and we mean it. You have to wipe every moment of this from your memory.
Wow.
And
but it's eidetic.
Said,
he can't.
Yes, sir. I understand.
I don't believe any of this.
None of it.
But I want to be clear about something.
Yeah.
If you make a claim like this, what we should do as a society is immediately put you in front of like the most serious court that is imaginable.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Produce evidence, because the stakes of this are way too high.
Crazy.
If you are telling the truth, the stakes and the importance for the public good is so important that you cannot not prove it.
Yes, absolutely.
And if you are lying, you need to go to prison.
Yep.
Because the stakes are so serious in that side, too. You can't be allowed to make these sorts of claims that are about like international espionage and like plots against society and stuff, and just do it with impunity.
Yeah.
If you can't prove this, you can't make claims like this.
Yeah.
That's how I would like to see things shake up.
I imagine a system of pneumatic tubes where you make a claim like this, and then all of a sudden, thunk, and then you're in the court, and you're like, whoa, 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 what just happened?
But it should not be a situation where, you know, like you're punished. It shouldn't be punitive unless you're clearly making this shit up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just too. It's too serious.
No, I think with swings this big, we're not dealing with quite as much nuance in the law, you know?
This seems like it would be incredibly easy to prove.
Very simple. Very simple.
If he's telling the truth, there'd be so much documentation. I don't care about him saying, like, oh, you have to wipe it from your memory.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? Hillary didn't become president, so all that fear of her, like, reprising against people didn't come to pass. There would probably be tons of people within the FBI who would corroborate your story.
Sure.
I'm gonna guess that you remember the bagman's name.
You would think
maybe the country that bribed Hillary. I don't know. This is so offensive to me.
So if I understand correctly, the timeline of the story goes thus.
Yes.
All right.
December 2015.
All right. He kicks ass on the sting, gets all the way to somewhere in 2015 where everybody in the higher-ups...
Early 2016, they've decided that Hillary's going to win.
All right, so they've just decided that it's over, right? And then Hillary doesn't win, and I believe that was the same year, correct?
Yeah.
And then there was the new president on 2017.
Now, January.
If I were somebody who had just successfully executed a sting operation on Hillary Clinton.
Right. Who was not president.
Someone who was famous, not just not president, but someone who lost to the guy who screamed, lock her up.
Oh, yeah. And like the whole big crowds of people chanting that. Yeah.
I wouldn't wait until after he had lost his election to tell people. I would go to him.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were inclined to take the gigantic risks involved in that kind of espionage sting operation
again, Hillary Clinton
involving a foreign government.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're willing to take those kinds of risks, I would assume, once Trump won, you'd be like, I gotta get in a room.
Now we get to do this whole thing. Yeah. Now I get to arrest Hillary Clinton.
I did all the work. It wasn't for nothing.
They probably will let me do it. I'll put the handcuffs on her.
I think that didn't happen because it didn't happen.
I'm going to go with that one, yeah.
Yeah.
That one sounds reasonable.
So I was kind of confused about the idea that Obama was behind this, but Patrick does clear that up here.
And after some hemming and hawing, eventually the following story was expressed to me. And it runs like this. Patrick, what you need to understand, so this is late January 2016.
You might
need
to check
your notes. What you need to understand is President Obama, and this is word for word, from there's really four federal people of different types involved, and this is word for word. Patrick, you need to understand that at this point, President Obama has his people across the federal bureaucracy, but especially in the Department of Justice. Hillary Clinton is going to be president for 8 years, and nothing is going to change that. But think of it this way. Think of there as being a Bunsen burner within the Department of Justice. And on that Bunsen burner, that information about the two bribes you were part of gathering, that'll be sitting there. But the hand on the Bunsen burner is going to be one of Barack Obama's people. If Hillary Clinton is a good girl and defends Obamacare and such, that flame stays low. If she's a bad girl and gets thinking for herself, that flame gets turned up. And that way, Barack Obama is going to manage Hillary Clinton for the 8 years she's
president. Well, that's exactly what the feds are trying to mean. I just said turn the burner all the way up.
Don't step on the line. You don't want to step on this line, Alex.
Okay, so back to the Bunsen burner.
Two or three more sentences.
Hey, the story is too good, Alex. You're interrupting.
Do you know how many times people with an eidetic memory say, and this is word for word, mind you.
They do say that a lot, I would imagine.
They say it initially. One time. And then you're like, oh, shit, you're telling the truth. But they don't repeat it over and over and over again in the same story.
Yeah. So Obama was going to manage Hillary.
Yeah.
Because he had this leverage on her with the bribe that the overstock CEO managed to pull off.
Right.
And so here's what Alex stepped on.
Two or three more sentences that way, Barack Obama, for the whole time Hillary Clinton's president, Barack Obama's going to be managing her, and she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
Wow. Still? Say that again, because I did mess up the punchline. The Bunsen burner can be turned up. It can be turned down.
It can be turned down. And that way, Barack Obama's going to manage Hillary Clinton for the eight years she's president. Then she's going to step down, and Michelle's going to run. And Patrick, that's the plan.
Wow, that makes perfect sense with Biden being an
literal
zombie.
Yeah, it makes so much sense.
Perfect sense.
This ridiculous story that this dude is telling on your show, you just take without any kind
so
of critical.
That just makes so much sense.
No real follow-up questions as to what the fuck are you talking about? Nothing like that. No, he gets to the end of the story. This was an Obama setup so he could blackmail Hillary, and then 8 years, he'd be the shadow president behind Hillary, and then his wife would be president after that. Ha ha. This is just absurd.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy.
But kind of fun.
It is kind of fun.
A little fun.
I do like that he thinks that it's such a great punchline that it's Michelle that's going to run.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you understand that we on InfoWars have been screaming about Michelle Obama becoming president since 2009, buddy.
Yeah,
we're fine.
They've been on that train for a while.
You are not going to blow my mind with Michelle is the secret at the end of this conspiracy, you know?
Right. I just don't think that there's a good use for this conspiracy.
Sure.
Because it takes some of the agency away from their biggest bad person, which is the Clintons.
No, it's like then, McConnell, the secret one was Obama. It's double Obama.
No, Hillary is like the devil that you have to be afraid of.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense for her to then be a patsy of Obama. Like it's emotionally unsatisfying for the InfoWars universe. Also, just prove any of this, Dick.
Like, I think it's a fun shit talking story. And if he wrote this down and he was like, "I'm gonna try and sell this to people," one, he needs to get better at his delivery because
two,
I don't buy this shit at
all. This delivery doesn't matter how bad it is with Alex.
Exactly,
he's gonna believe him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And three, Patrick says he has two more bombshells that are coming eventually.
Get the.
So we may have bigger swings
all right.
Coming in the future.
All right.
But we're going to have to wait for those.
Oh, no.
I would love for you to release your next bombshells next Monday, if you'd like, or whenever you'd like, here on air. We appreciate you. We appreciate your time. And thank you so much for coming on short notice.
Inshallah, Alex. And if I'm still alive, I'll come back on Monday and tell you a little bit more.
Okay. All right. Me too. I hear you.
You'll be fine.
Yeah.
This just reminds me of the Jerome Corsi might die over the weekend. He's got a dead man switch.
Yeah. Oh, man. No, I can't come back on Monday, Alex. It's going to take me at least another week to write that. I mean, I can't remember. Oh, no, I have an eidetic memory. I mean, it's vacation. Smoke bomb.
Yeah, so that was an interesting kind of, I don't know, change of pace.
Yeah, jaunt is a good little jaunt.
Yeah, I found that to be just.
I feel like I got took down the garden path for a nice little walk, and now we've come back to the house, and we shall return.
I also like the idea too that like this Patrick guy is like clearly someone who has some status, at least in his own mind.
Yeah,
he'll. Like, tell Alex you stepped on my punchline.
Yeah.
I'm going to say these things.
Yeah.
Like, he's not... He's
I've made a lot of money.
He has a little bit of flex on him, which is kind of fun.
It is.
But I also was thinking, like, all right, this guy's clearly a little nutty. Is he the new Larry? Is he the new Larry Nichols? He's got a Clinton conspiracy.
That would be good.
Yeah.
I wonder... Here's what I wonder.
Uh-huh.
Wait. Stevie P's wasn't on today, right?
No.
I'm wondering when exactly Stevie P's is coming back.
Probably tomorrow. I don't know.
No, but that's what I'm saying. What if there's a larger thing going on between Stevie and David Knight?
There may be.
And now Steve's not even going to be coming back for a little while. So we got Overstock guy to try and thread the needle of a Steve and a
David. Oh, my God.
Knight.
He has so much of the Steve and so much of the Larry.
Exactly.
All in one.
Yep. Put them in one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough for me because, you know, we get blindsided by this news about the David Knight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as I look into the episode itself, you know, you find that, oh, maybe there's massive downsizing. Or maybe this is yet again Alex overplaying something. Kind of desperation in order to move product. Who knows? I don't know. I have no idea what's going on there. Things don't look good. And it makes me even more suspicious when the day before there's really no indication of anything.
Yeah.
There's no trouble.
Yeah.
He's promoting the election countdown show that now apparently can't continue.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a little bit out of nowhere.
Here's my pitch on, here's my conspiracy now. This is what I've got for you on this whole thing. All right. InfoWars, not doing great right now. Not going to go out of business, but they're not doing great right now.
Sure.
Okay? And these months, this little couple of weeks, you know what? Everybody takes a Christmas vacation. And if you took a Christmas vacation, that wouldn't be that exciting. We're in the middle of fighting the goddamn info war. You know, you can't just go out on vacation.
I see what you're doing.
So what we do is we say we got to let you go. I save money on overhead costs for a couple of weeks. After the big Christmas sale,
unpaid
we get all
vacation.
Unpaid. After the big Christmas sale, we get all the money in. And then I'm like, guys, we're bringing David Knight back.
And we've retooled his show.
Exactly.
Huh. Yeah, that would be interesting.
That would be interesting.
I don't know if they could pull that off.
I don't think so either.
Yeah. I'm interested to see what ends up happening, but not that interested.
Sure.
I'm torn.
I want them to do some work to make me interested in it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Make me care.
Fight. Now, do something for my amusement.
The other thing, too, that I think is really key is that, like, Alex is about to enter a very profitable space, which is returning to the attacking the GOP.
Right.
Like, purity in the GOP kind of thing is a really, really profitable sector for, like, right-wing talk shows.
Oh, yeah. It's worked for millions of years.
Right. But he also has never had to do it while there were large, funded competitors.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he can beat OAM.
Yeah, it's difficult whenever you also have, like, because before you had Fox News crashing the Tea Party wing, just like, fuck yeah, let's ride or die on killing everybody. But Alex even then still got to exist in that space of, like, everybody sucks and I hate them all, but Obama's the devil and, you know, that whole thing. But Fox News wasn't also hating Mitch McConnell at the time.
No, they did have Glenn Beck being a little nutty,
true,
a little conspiracy-ish, but like...
But Glenn Beck didn't have two networks that they were competing, you know what I'm saying?
Right. I'm saying that Alex did have some competition in the form of Glenn Beck, but yeah. Alex was still like, he would say a lot of shit that Glenn Beck probably wouldn't.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I don't know substantially what he can do to differentiate himself from the competitors now, but
a good job, I think, is the only thing he could do, and I don't think he's capable of that.
Don't think it's possible.
No,
based on this interview with the Overstock guy, I don't think it's possible.
I don't think we're seeing that kind of turnaround.
Certainly not.
It's a Christmas miracle.
No. We'll be back, folks. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
We're also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's at knowledgefight. Now go to BetJordan.
We're also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. You tell the show. If you could please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out those doing God's work right now.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I'm more like outofstock.com. Eh?
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.